The Michelin Le Mans Cup on RS1.
On RS1.
Part of the Radio Show Limited Network. The Michelin Le Mans Cup on RS3.
On RS3.
Part of the Radio Show Limited Network.
We're racing and qualifying on the same day for the Michelin Le Mans Cup, and it's set to be a very, very busy one. But, yeah, weather conditions pretty much set fair. However, this place is rather brutal on tyres, and obviously the high temperatures north of 30 degrees could be telling when we get to the 120-minute race later on today. It's a fairly late one, starting at 5 o'clock local time. But before that, two bouts of qualifying, each for 15 minutes each. And thank you for choosing to spend the next best part of an hour with me, Johnny Palmer, and Graham Goodwin, who is the editor of dailysportscar.com. So, third stop on this mini tour of Europe. We have already been to Barcelona and Circuit Paul Ricard Le Castellet. This actual championship sat out Red Bull Ring, and that is because, Graham, the next time after Monza that we'll be racing is almost the keystone event, the road to Le Mans, next month.
Absolutely right, Johnny. Good afternoon, everybody, from a glorious Monza circuit. You can see in the foothills of the Alps, really, here. Yep, the road to Le Mans races, the two 55-minute races that really are the cornerstone of this championship. The reason, by the way, for the mix of cars you can see here, it's not because we're going to get a joint qualifying session. It's the making their way from the rear of the paddock around the final part of the lap into the main pit lane, where the teams will have assembled their kit outside the ELMS garages, ready for these qualifying sessions to get underway. There's a number of changes we can talk to you about that will be visible once these cars actually get out of the track. New team joining the championship for the first time, new drivers in a number of cars, and lots of excitement. That's one of the cars with a significant storyline this weekend, Johnny. That's the WTM My Phoenix Duquesne. And there, Georg Weiss is going to have a busy weekend.
Yeah, Leo Weiss, named alongside the number 11 car. He has been racing with Torsten Kratz up till this point. But yeah, Georg Weiss will be joining with Leo this weekend, which is an exciting prospect in the Duquesne M30. 5.7 kilometres around this place, this Royal Park at Monza. Next year, celebrating a very special year indeed at Monza, the centenary of this fabulous place. I mean, there's nowhere quite like Monza.
No, it's beautiful surroundings here, absolutely beautiful surroundings. Fabulous kind of area of the world to spend some time. We've had what might be described, Johnny, as rather mixed weather over the last few days, but glorious sunshine predicted for the remainder of this weekend. Temperatures in the 30s Celsius, and that's making it very steamy indeed for the pit crews there. You can see toiling in their race suits, certainly the drivers. Anybody trackside, the marshals are going to have a very long day in the sunshine here too. But sadly, not yet to see spectators back here in the European Le Mans Series. Feel that's coming pretty soon. We will have, I believe, a limited number of spectators back next weekend, because this is a double-header weekend for ACO Rules Racing. Michelin Le Mans Cup today, ELMS tomorrow, and then next weekend the FIA World Endurance Championship.
Yeah, so clearly it's not venue-specific, but the European Le Mans Series has a history of actually flinging its doors open to everyone in the non-COVID times to be as accessible as possible. There was no ticket fee. I think they wanted about €10 off you to get into the paddock,
absolutely,
but otherwise
right.
It was a free roam around the circuits.
And remember, I would say this, everybody at LMEM and the organisers of the European Le Mans Series desperate to get back to the point where we can welcome fans back to these race meetings. It is all to do with the controls that need to be put in place, and with the World Championship event next week, some more of those controls are in place per se as an FIA event, but it's coming. We will be able to welcome all of you listening and all of you watching back to whichever race you plan to come to, I'm sure, remarkably quickly. Iron Dames there. This is the exciting combination in the Michelin Le Mans Cup of Sarah Bovy and Darian Pain, and that is
flying session.
I think certainly the young Frenchwoman Dorian is very much part of the plans for the Iron Dames moving forward. And exciting news for Iron Links in the last week or so. A brand new combined team created with Prima. Big made a single-seater development series.
And Italian, aren't they?
Yep. And so an Italian powerhouse together. So lots going on that I feel is beginning to prepare for another step up the ladder. Okay, with young talent being brought through, both from single-seaters and from, frankly, wherever else they can find it.
Well, that would fit with the number of youngsters that we have immediately being attracted to ACO Rules Racing. So if there can be some way of dovetailing seasons, if you've got Prima Power team running in European Formula 3 and other single-seater categories as well, maybe them presenting some of their drivers on their off weekends to be able to drive for GT cars and sports cars, that could work very nicely.
Well, cars on track, Johnny. 15 minutes it is for this this session.
Yeah, and so just over a minute gone, 15 minutes as you say, and there will be six cars in the session, most of which are Ferraris, but we do have the Porsche from PZ Obera Zurichse by TFT and Nicky Leutwiler, and also the TF Sport Aston Martin with a very familiar name in the Aston Martin Vantage AMR GT3. Not used to be to seeing a driver as world-renowned as Ben Keating in a championship like this.
Yeah, Ben is one of a number of drivers and a number of series here this weekend, taking the opportunity to just get some sighting laps in here at Monza. Head of the WC next weekend. This is Ben aboard that 97 car. One off. It's got the four horsemen logo on the front of the Aston Martin Vantage. Be keen to see just exactly what he can do here. Probably one of the least experienced drivers on this grid around Monza. Nicky Leutwiler, meanwhile, one of the more experienced ones in the number two car.
Lots of front engine GT experience. I mean, he's a Ford man by trade. He owns an awful lot of dealerships, not only in Texas, but all around the States. I think his dad started as a big Ford man, but now these dealerships are all sorts of different manufacturers. And it's like Ben's trying to tick off as many as he can in the racing car world as well.
Well, you know, he's, in recent years, we've seen him in Dodge Vipers, the Ford GT, you're quite right. He's been racing in the Porsche 911 GT, the RSR in GT AM. We've seen him in Mercedes-AMG, you name it, and of course also in LMP cars.
Yep.
So Ben Keating is a bronze driver, you know, one of the most experienced and one of the quickest. But is he going to be quick here? Let's wait and see.
But those that paid attention to the Daytona 24 Hours at the start of the year will see that that's where the initial TF Sport connection happened, because he raced an Aston Martin in the twice round the clock event in Florida.
And that was in preparation for the shift from Project 1 to TF Sport for the WEC. And this gives him just that opportunity to turn up here just a few days earlier than he would have had to anyway, and get the experience alongside, we should say, Ross Gunn, Aston Martin factory driver. So that is a kind of mouth-watering prospect as a duo that in this GT class. This one, though, Ken Arbe in, I have to say, one of my favourite liveries on track this year. Beautiful shade of blue on that AF Corsa entered Ferrari.
Yes, and scarlet red, no stranger to a prancing horse around this place, but the rather more unusual, although very attractive, combination of colours, heading now out of the Valle Antiascari and down the short, sharp chute towards the Parabolica. 5.7 kilometres. On paper, this track almost looks a bit smaller than that. It's a series of straights and then some very tricky, almost 90-degree right-handers when you get to the Lesmos. The Curva Grande as well, which on the prototypes will really punish that front left tyre. GT's more about the rear left with their rear-wheel drive, but because of the downforce on the nose of the LMP3s when we get to them, I think even in a two-hour race, tyres will need to be closely watched. As the PZ Obera Zurichse by TFT Porsche of Nicky Leutwiler heads out of the Parabolica to cross the line. 155.164 is his first offering. That is 0.6 of a second slower than Ken Arbe.
So the Porsche down towards the first chicane. Through goes the number 8 Iron Lynx car. Gabriele Lancieri in this car this weekend. We're not going to see Rino Mastronardi aboard the championship leading number 8 this time out. Slow-mo coming through that first chicane. The line there almost looks clumsy when they come through there, but there's a well-defined line that gives you the best launch, Johnny, down around this very, very quick part of the course. Ben Keating hard on the brakes. Number 97 car.
Yes, not the number four car, which is actually the icon of horseman racing, but it's I think possibly like a gearbox symbol on the nose of the car, which also looks like a number four, but it's 97 as the side panels indicate, on a very striking livery for TF Sport this season.
To the top of the times, though, as we watch Nicky Ludweiler, is a very familiar name to anyone that has got any kind of heritage in the very top echelons of motorsport. Andrea Montemini makes his debut in the Michelin Le Mans Cup this weekend aboard the number 61 AF Corsa car. Now 61 years old, I think, Andrea.
Brilliant.
Actually, my apologies, he's not 61, he's 57. In fact, he is a month and a week older than I am.
Okay.
But now a bronze-ranked driver, Andrea Montemini.
But not doing the qualifying because he's a... Oh, he is a bronze.
Yep. By age.
That's interesting, because it says, still says silver on the entry list, but I can address that. Gino Forgione, I think, is bronze as well, so that means that AF Corsa have had a decision to make as to who is put into the car, but the fact that Montemini's in the session proves he's a bronze.
Well, you guess so.
You have to be.
You have to be.
Unless they've made a glaring error, but I doubt it very much from AF Corsa, because although the drivers aren't experienced in Michelin Le Mans Cup, Amato Ferrari's crew certainly are, and they will know their regulations back to front.
But bested by right now Ben Keating, because he goes to the top in the number 97 TF Sport Aston Martin. It's a 149.565, 9 thousandths of a second quicker than Nicky Ludweiler, then Gabriele Lancieri, then Andrea Montemini. That's how quickly this is changing.
And Forgione, who I mentioned, we'll see later on in the race, from Switzerland, but done a lot of racing for best part of 10 years now, starting off in 2009 in the European Ferrari Cup Championship. Meanwhile, 97 then, as Graham mentions, going very nicely. Aston Martin out front by 9 thousandths of a second over Loic Vila and Gabriele Lancieri, the first of the two Iron Lynx cars. So of a field predominantly of Ferraris, actually they're third, fourth, fifth and sixth at the moment, yes, with an Aston topping the times and Porsche second.
On home ground, we should mention. Yeah. And not the way I think that some of the Ferrari teams would have thought this session would be going. We've still got half the session remaining.
And the Aston then heading down the straight with the headlights on full beam. That's more to warn drivers that Aston will be on a quick lap.
Nicky Ludweiler, though, goes back to the top. It's the Porsche ahead of the Aston Martin for the moment. So it's going to be tight at the end of that lap. Ben Keating does not improve, but it's another lap in the 149s for Keating. This is going to be very tight indeed. Top three separated at the moment, as it changes, and he does go indeed to the top. That's, I think, because the Porsche's lap has been deleted.
Yeah, well, it's gone back to, crucially, 9 thousandths of a second again, so the advantage briefly was with the Porsche, but that Loic Vila lap has breached the track limits. Not sure where the number two car has come a cropper. Turn seven, read the message correctly. That's the second of the Lesmos, no doubt on the exit of that right-hander. And you can really gain quite a lot of time, because that's the long straight that then ducks down underneath the old banked circuit and into Ascari. And you're arriving at Ascari a little faster than you would be had you stayed within the confines of the circuit. So the cars continue around with 5 minutes, just over 5 minutes of the time remaining in this session. TF Sport Aston Martin still out front by 9 thousandths of a second from Nicky Loic Vila and the PZ Obera Zurichse by TFT car. And then the two Iron Lynx machines of Gabriele Lancieri and Sarah Bovi ahead of Andrea Montemini and Ken Arbe, who was one of the first cars out onto the circuit released from the pit lane. But now with a bit of work to do, 153.3 is Ken's best time in that number 51 car for the Japanese.
I'm going to say that I'm not sure that's Montemini in that car.
Okay, well, as I say, he's down on the entry list, my entry list as a silver-rated driver. Gino Forgione is blank, actually, in terms of his precious metal rating, but I'm assuming he's bronze and therefore eligible for the session, because you have to have a bronze. So, Forgione may well be in that car and setting the times 152.1. That car's best.
So Lancieri goes to the top now. That's a 149.292. That's a significant gap for the first time in a little wee while, just over a quarter of a second ahead of Ben Keating. Does that 9,000th gap from Nicky Lurtweiler. Quick lap underway at the moment from Sara Bovi in this car. This is the number 9 Iron Lynx Ferrari 488 GT3. And she's put in a fastest of all middle sector. Little off on her opening sector here, though, so it's going to be interesting to see what kind of times she can put together. Fourth quickest overall at the moment. And she nips in between, would you believe, Keating and Lurtweiler. Beats Nicky Lurtweiler's time by 2 thousandths of a second, and is just 5 thousandths of a second off, 7 thousandths of a second rather, off second place in the running with just under 4 minutes to go. Almost overcooks it there through the chicane. Here comes Lancieri, though.
Yeah, Lancieri, who is actually from Imola. Another fantastic former F1 circuit there, of course. Been back on the calendar very recently, though, with the a lot more Grand Prix being held in Europe more recently for obvious reasons. And Lancieri topping the times now, the number 8 Iron Lynx Ferrari, having gone faster than anybody else through the first sector last time around. No, on this lap, in fact. But he's 0.084 of a second slower through the middle sector. It's a 149.2 that he's trying to beat, which is his own time, in fact, and doesn't manage it on that lap. It's a 149.4, as it turns out. So only 0.2 of a second away. Leaning on an advantage of just over a quarter of a second from Ben Keating, then Sara Bovi. That was the reason for the round of applause down at Iron Lynx, slotting into third position, and Sara improving again on the first sector of this lap.
So remember, she only needs to find 7 thousandths of a second on the lap time she scored last time round to get to the front row of the grid in this class. That would be some result for the number 9 Iron Lynx car. This is, if you like, the development car for the Iron Dames project. Now with Ferraris run by Iron Lynx in the Michelin Le Mans Cup here, European Le Mans Series, and the FI World Endurance Championship, as well as a range of other races around the world. And through it comes, as Ben Keating puts in a purple sector of his first sector in response. Bovi does indeed go to second and halves the gap, indeed, to the session leader. It is just over a tenth of a second now, Sir Lancieri. Now, is that as much as Sara Bovi's got, or is there more to come? And what more can we see from Ben Keating?
More clapping then for this driver from Brussels, 32 years old, been racing for the best part of 15 years, Sara Bovi, and all sorts of different campaigns, including in GT Italia, done one race this season already. W Series races in 2019, and Sarah second fastest in the session with a little over 90 seconds still to go. Ben Keating, wanting to try and offer a response, does improve. In fact, pulled out the best sector of all through the first sector of this lap.
The only traffic he's had is actually the session leader, pulled out the way. I don't think held him up much, if any at all. Through he comes to complete the final turn. It'll then be the sprint down to the line from Ben Keating, third at the moment at 149.5. What can he do here?
It is improvement, but it still keeps him in third position. It's 149.548. Is there a deletion somewhere in the middle of that as well?
I have a feeling he beat his time by 1 thousandth of a second.
What's the gap now between the 9 and the 97? Well, that's not actually the time we were noting earlier on in the session, which was 9 thousandths of a second, but that was the gap between the Aston and the Porsche, from memory. So it means that the Aston is 0.133 of a second behind Sara Bovi's Ferrari.
My apologies, he beat his previous time by 13 thousandths of a second. Not enough to unseat Sara Bovi from that front row start, but he's going for it again.
So 149.5 is the Aston Martin's best effort. Sara Bovi goes across the line again. Ben's gone a bit wide this time, but keeps it on the hard standing just about. Sarah, as I say, crossed the line, but doesn't improve. Still time left on the clock as she did so. And having not pitted, there will be one more lap for the Belgian heading towards the first chicane.
See in the background as well, Lancieri's back on a quick lap here in defence of that pole position. Here comes Nicky Lurtweiler. He's currently sitting fourth. That won't be good enough for him. The checkered flag is already being shown.
So Andrea Montemini, if indeed it was him, we reckon Gino Forgione more likely is in the pits. Otherwise, all the rest of the cars that entered the session are still running. Four of them are about to see the checkered flag the other side of the parabolica, the first of which will be Niki Leutwiler, although there are no blue times on the screen for this lap, and in fact he realises that as well and will peel off to the pit lane. Ben Keating, he's going to do the same thing as well. So Ben improved last time around, 149.4548, his best lap of the session. That's the beauty of these Michelin Le Mans Cup sessions, is that generally as their bronze drivers they're improving throughout the 15 minutes, and Ben has proved that theory exactly right by setting the best lap on his penultimate tour. Gabriele Lancieri, though, I was about to say guaranteed a pole position, but I don't know, because Sarah, having gone through sector one, has set the sector two rather, has set the best sector of that of the session so far. So she is pushing.
She is.
I just fear about the first sector and whether it's good enough.
Well, we're about to see. She was, by the look of things, a hundredth up on the pole position, Tom, as a result of that middle sector. Let's have a look what happens with the time as she crosses the line, if indeed she does cross the line. Not going to see that, I'm afraid. She crosses the line. It is an improvement. She halves the gap again to 65 thousandths of a second. That was a highly impressive qualifying session from Sarah Bovey.
Yeah, only falling short, as you say, by 0.065 of a second on Gabriele Lancieri, who will take pole position in the sister car at Iron Link. So not the pink and black car, it's the number 8 machine that takes the 149.292 to be the best time of that 15-minute session. Sarah Bovey just falling short. There is the 8 car with the white and white flashes on the black background. The pink and black car of Sarah Bovey second then, 0.065 of a second between the two Ferraris. And having been dominated that session really by the Aston and the Porsche, they're the ones that fall a bit short, with Ben Keating in third for TF Sport, the PZ Obera Zurichsee by TFT Porsche of Niki Leutwiler, number two, finishing fourth ahead of the two AF Corsa Ferraris of Gino Forgione and Ken Arbe in the blue prancing horse. Confirmation of the times, 142.292 is good enough and gives Iron Lynx a front row start in GT3 as part of the latest round of the Michelin Le Mans Cup. TF Sport will finish in third ahead of Swiss squad TFT and PZ Obera, and then the two Italian Ferraris of AF Corsa Amato Ferrari squad, 61 ahead of 51. So that, with six cars, was relatively busy. We're now going to introduce a further 20 to add to six LMP3. So a total number, when we get going later on today at 5 o'clock, of 32 cars all being well on the grid. But yes, 26 LMP3s from a variety of teams, including TS Corsa, who are at their home race. And there's one in held for good measure from AF Corsa as well. So don't get those two squads mixed up. But Luxembourgish teams, German teams, Swiss teams, British teams, you name it, we've got them very shortly heading out onto the Monza asphalt. But before we get there, let's head to Hayley Edmonds in the pit lane for reaction from part one of qualifying.
I'm joined here by Paolo Roberti, driver of car number 8, Iron Link. Sorry, we're going to have to move because there's a... I'm just going to move the cameraman. What a fantastic start to the Michelin Le Mans Cup. You've just got pole, or your co-driver did, Gabriele Lancieri. You know how to choose your co-drivers, don't you? Third pole of this season.
Yeah, he did a superb job. He drove really well. We were teammates even 15 years ago. We were racing together, so we are back together. He did a great job. We start first position. It's important for us to start in front, to keep the fire in front and without trouble.
Of course, your sister car, driven by Sarah Bovey, also showed some fantastic pace. I mean, you know, the Iron Lynx team is obviously looking great going into this race today.
Yeah, she did really well. Even Doriani is fast, so they are both very fast. So I hope we can do a 1-2 finisher.
All right, thank you very much, Paolo.
Well, they have very good recent form in this championship, being the GT3 champions, Iron Lynx, that is, last year when Rino Mastronardi took the title. So no more Rino for the time being, but Lancieri slots in and kind of continues on, really.
It did indeed. It's all about that balance, isn't it, between the two drivers, and Iron Lynx very much in the hunt for the Championship again this year, and that automatic invitation to the Le Mans 24 Hours that comes with the GT Class Championship. And very keen to do that. This is a team of real ambition, real depth. As we were saying a little earlier, with that news in the last week of the merger, effectively, with Prema Power Team, and with real ambition, not just for the core racing programmes, but also for this Iron Dames programme as well. We can see there that's Deborah Meyer. That's not Deborah Meyer. Deborah was the lady behind. Congratulated. Is that Dorian?
Dorian Power, yes, yeah. With the mask on.
And Sarah Bovey getting it out of the car.
Two teammates celebrating with each other. That's how much it means. They didn't actually get pole, but they got 65 thousandths of a second towards it. And I think celebration of the fact that it's a front row start for both of the Iron Lynx cars.
Wheeling out the big step rudder again for that shot. So good to see that's there. It's the LMP3 cars about ready to go.
Yeah, the 15 minutes haven't yet started to tick by, but a very, very long queue is developing in the Monza pit lane with some of the Mulner Motorsport Duquesne's about to kick things off, but we'll head back to the pits.
I'm joined here by Sarah Bovey, driver of car number 9 for Iron Lynx. Now, sir, what a fantastic qualifying just is there. 65 thousandths of a second off your teammate, Gabriella. I mean, just tell us about how the car's feeling, the pace, you know, going into the race today.
Well, everything was feeling great. I mean, the team has done a fantastic job all along the weekend. We've been working very closely with our engineer to have a fast car, but also a reliable car. And today was just a pleasure to drive the quali. I always had a weakness on that exercise. It's not my strength, but I'm very happy that today I could push for it and almost had it. At least I tried.
And you did fantastically. Now, you're coming off the last round, Michelin Le Mans Cup round. You and Dorian came third. I mean, it's very encouraging. It must be really motivating knowing that you've got everything you need to kind of get the results today.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, the environment we have with Iron Lynx and Iron Dames, I think every driver in the world would like to have that. So I feel very lucky, very blessed, and that's why I want to give 200% every time I got in the car, because I guess it's the best way to thank them for that amazing opportunity.
We can see you're doing it. Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thanks a lot.
A very honest interview there from Sarah, saying that qualifying is actually not my strength. But that is the beauty of being part of a championship like this, because you can hone that part of your game, if you like. You're given the track time, not only in the free practice sessions, but crucially in that 15-minute session. Relatively quiet track with the 6 cars. And the trick is to try and get faster and faster.
Absolutely right. And we've seen time and time again in these series that do allow the less experienced drivers the opportunity to do the qualifying. It does up the game for them through the whole of the race that follows. It gives them that opportunity to manage the car, to manage the tyres through those sessions. And as we constantly say with these Michelin Le Mans Cup qualifying sessions, Johnny, you see it time and again that those times improve through that entire session. It does bear fruit further down the line into racing and further up the greasy pole of endurance racing, as these cars, these drivers, these teams almost inevitably now graduate up from this series up the pyramid of endurance racing, and there's a long way up to go now. And it's great to see the ambition coming through from these teams, and in particular, I'll say it out loud, it's particularly gratifying to see the Iron Dames project bearing fruit and putting real talent on that ladder that we will absolutely be seeing in the ELMS and in the FIA World Endurance Championship and at the Le Mans 24 Hours in the years to come.
And the next two races after this one are held at the 24 Hours of Le Mans, one midweek, one on Saturday morning, the road to Le Mans hour-long races, and the ability, therefore, for drivers that are relatively inexperienced when it comes to that race to at least drive the 8.5-mile circuit in support of the big event, to get a flavour of it, and then hopefully to come back in a few years' time and actually be part of the big entry for the 24 Hours. We're still waiting for the next
seconds,
quarter of an hour then to start to tick by, 30 seconds away from that. Just a stellar lineup, and I think this is probably bolstered by the fact that teams want to get some practice in ahead of Le Mans and ahead of the Road to Le Mans event.
Absolutely right. Number of changes.
15 seconds.
So 15 seconds, and that means
10,
at any moment, yes.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, LMP3 qualifying session has started.
The torrent of colour that is the Michelin Le Mans Cup LMP3 grid about to be released onto this fabulous circuit. And we'll get to a couple of the changes, some significant changes around in this class as we see those cars on track, number of driver changes.
Two of the Mulner Motorsport Duquesnes are at the front of the queue. They are recognisable with a slightly different headlight arrangement, rather. The narrower nose on the Ligier cars, but essentially built to the same regulations when the reset button was pressed as far as LMP3 is concerned. And those cars, once known as Normas, became known as Duquesnes because of Gilles Duquesne acquiring the Norma company. And both cars sort of more now on a level playing field. Because the old Norma was developed later than the Ligier, there was a time when we went into LMP3 racing, either in this championship or in the ELMS, when the Norma was definitely the car to have. But it's more of a level playing field now. So therefore, this is difficult to call. But clearly, around a place like this, you need straight line speed.
That was a very late call, but you're quite right. There were indeed two Milner Motorsport cars in front of the queue. Now, that rather reverses the position from a couple of days ago when the 18 car was about to be withdrawn. That car is now there, and I think it's going to be Francesco Zollo in that car, or is it Dino Lunardi?
Lunardi is named.
Yep. The other car, by the way, we'll see in the race later today, the undoubted talents of Jeroen Blekemolen, sharing with the man who is pedalling the 21 car here in this session, Freddie Hunt, son of late Formula One champion James Hunt, and wears a very, very similar helmet to his father. And it'll be Freddie's second opportunity to sample LMP3s after taking part in the Road to Le Mans races a couple of years ago. Here's that number 11 WTM Rockenspiegel Team Marshall car that we talked about a little earlier, the number 11 car. Fantastic looking livery on that car as well.
Having said Dino Lunardi is named in the number 18 car, he definitely is on my screen, but Lunardi is a silver rated driver, so I think it has to be Francesco Zollo. Again, I think that's a driver ID problem rather than Mulner picking the wrong guy for the job. Out of the chicane will go the sister car then at Mulner. And clearly their priority was getting out front as early as possible to get the track position. And bronze-rated driver Freddie Hunt then, as Graham's talked about, in the 21 car and heading down towards the second chicane. Not yet seen any times coming through, but as Graham's mentioned, lots of new names to conjure with. John Brownson, the American, in with Dario Cangialosi.
Well, that's a new name for us this weekend, isn't it?
John Brownson is, yeah.
No, I think Brownson has been in for the season.
Oh, okay.
I believe so. The other new name, and we'll see that car, I'm sure, Team Thor car, Alden Gudmundsson, is out there on track at the moment. It's a new name. It's a name we know very well indeed. Anders Fjordback will be sharing that car for the non-Road to Le Mans races this season. The now WC LMP2 driver.
Brownson did do Barcelona, you're quite right, but he didn't, as far as I can tell, do Le Castellet.
Ah, okay.
So there's been quite a bit of changing around at DKR Engineering. I have to say, at this point, it's a bit of a stretch for DKR to continue this awesome run of championship
wins,
isn't it?
Doubt, it's going to be more than a struggle for them.
Yeah, so it rather opens the door for everybody else who've been there or thereabouts in previous seasons to take a crucial title. Yes, it doesn't give you the automatic invitation to the 24 Hours of Le Mans, unlike the GT3 title, but it can still open a lot of doors in terms of getting into the European Le Mans series. There was a time when some promotion and relegation system was talked about. We haven't quite got that, but certainly if you win a title in Michelin Le Mans Cup, that puts you on a pedestal and a really good opportunity to then move up the ladder.
Cars coming through to set their first times and just knocked off the top. Freddie Hunt was sitting there for a little wee while, but it's Alexander Mitchell in the number 66 Rinaldi car. This is the green car with the yellow highlights, the red nose. Another attractive livery this season. And a great job done somewhere, by the way, in terms of the German teams coming to the Michelin Le Mans Cup with Rinaldi, with Phoenix, with Black Falcon, and as we'll see a little later, with the season debut, delayed season debut, for very sad reasons, here at Monza from Fricadilly Racing with... We'll talk about that when we see their very attractive Ligier, but they've been going well this season, this weekend so far.
But yes, Rinaldi, just to go back to that point, not least because of the sound of that name, but also because they've historically run Ferraris, aren't actually Italian. They are a German team through and through, and regulars at the Nürburgring Nordschleife. So yes, they have 55 and 66 in this race, and they are no strangers, of course, now to the Michelin Le Mans Cup, but were welcome additions last season.
Yeah, Matchell actually lost that lap, so Freddie Hunter is at the moment at the top of times, and indeed going through with purple sectors for the first two sectors on the lap he's now on, so going very well indeed. It's Hunt from Torsten Kratz in the WTM car. And through goes Freddie Hunt. And that is a much improved time. It's a 1:44.981. He's 1.7 seconds ahead of what is now confirmed as being Francesco Zolo in the sister Milner car. So it's a Milner 1-2 at the moment.
All about that road position that they desperately wanted at the start of the race. And you can see why, start of the session rather, you can see why with 26 cars circulating around only 5.7 kilometres. A clear road is what you want. Unless we're going to get to the stage later in the session where one car is towing the other along. But I think because they're so aero-dependent, these cars, actually dirty air doesn't work for you. And you're better off with that bit of open road immediately in front. As the number 11 car, which has been there or thereabouts from the off, Torsten Kratz for WTM, Falkenspiegel Team Monschau, powered by Phoenix. That car's currently fifth.
There you go. Here's Freddie Hunt still at the top from Francesco Zolo, who gets back into second place. Mikey Benham pops up into second spot right now. Just under 2 seconds back from Freddie Hunt. But Mikey Benham in the number 15 RRM Sport. One of the cars, by the way, that is not registered for full season points, but has been very much in the hunt. With no yellow flags at turn seven. So Hunt from Gerschitz now in the number five. He loses that lap. There's an awful lot of track limits coming in here.
And that was the run out of the second Lesmo as well. Now, we haven't got to the European Le Mans Series yet and stories emerging from that paddock, but there is a big one that we'll get to about the 32 car, I understand. Yep. However, the 32 car in this session has not yet been seen. Daniel Schneider's car is in the pit lane.
Well, he's been out and came back in, right, and rather remarkably did the middle, fastest middle sector before pitting.
Interesting. So the pace is there, but they can't get the car out into the session because of a problem.
Trouble.
Yes, it was a while ago, a few minutes ago with the... Is that the Mulder car? Yes, number 20... No, the 18 it is, which has lost it coming out of the Lesmo. That's where a lot of cars have been breaching the track limits. Well, this one is now broadside, partly in the gravel track and partly on the race surface. Does rejoin because the yellows have been taken back in again. You said you'd spotted yellow flags at turn seven.
I did.
That's got to be the reason why.
My apologies. The Daniel Schneider car has not been out onto track. That's my misreading of the timing screen. We've got a timing screen that is showing it with... Now corrected itself.
No times at all, are there?
No, not no. Been out at all.
That's a real shame then for the Schneider car, which is due to have Andy Merrick in come the race and could therefore be very, very strong. Matthias Luton now being shown stopped on the race circuit somewhere for Team Virage, one of the two orange and yellow striped cars that were together at the start of the session. But that is stopped somewhere out on track, somewhere in the first sector.
There's going to be a lot of change here if some of these drivers can keep it more disciplined. Fingerchitz goes to the top with a 1:44.7, just under 0.2 quicker than Freddie Hunt. But Antoine de Coin and the number 37 Cool Racing car have been second, now third, shuffled back by Gerschitz improvement. Torsten Kratz goes through to second now in that WTM powered by Phoenix car. This is going to be about keeping away from those track limits problems, and there's time here to come.
Matthias Luton was limping into the pit lane at the end of that lap, I noticed, and should hopefully arrive very, very shortly.
Red flag.
There's a red flag now because of a yellow flag initially. It is that stranded car.
Yep.
It's Matthias Luton, who I said was going at about walking speed trying to make the pit lane, is just into the pit lane, and now actually it fires back into life and back onto the racetrack. Now, it hadn't gone beyond that crucial white line, which isn't the speed limit line, it's the point of no return. If you cross that, you have to go in the pits. Luton was short of that, so could dodge left of the bollard and rejoin. But the red flag that car has caused
That's
it's kind of needless now because the car's got going again. But we do still have 5 minutes, 41 seconds on the clock with the time no longer ticking.
That's the crucial thing here, isn't it? We're not losing time here. So just how Eduardo Freitas is going to get this session back underway, we'll wait and see. But needed the red flag. That was not a pleasant place to be stopped. You can be, you know, if you're on an in-lap and being unsighted and a car stopped at that position, you're going to see it very late.
And the problem is, as Lewis Hamilton proved, I think last year, the marshal point on the left-hand side is just not where you're looking for a yellow flag. You are looking on the inside of the circuit for the pit lane entry. You can very easily miss a warning from a marshal there and plough straight into the back of Luton's stranded car. And typically, you know, if you're a race director, you call for a red flag, and within seconds, the reason for it clears itself. But, you know, he cannot foresee a lot of these things. And it does mean we've still got 5 minutes and 41 seconds. Of course, an outlap will cost you about 2 minutes. So it's going to be a real dash now for these positions to decide, certainly the first, well, all of the rows, but crucially the front three rows, which are still very closely contested indeed, Graham.
They are indeed. Fink Gerschitz is at the moment provisional pole setter with a 1:44.785.
All cars may pick up the pace to come back to the pit lane. All cars on track may pick up the pace to come back to the pit lane, please.
And he said please, so please do it.
Yeah.
So
all cars on track may increase the speed to come back to the pit lane. All cars on track, please increase the speed to come back to the pit lane.
So that's exactly how we're going to see things recovered. This is the current pole sitter, Fink Gerschitz.
Car 15 reported to the stewards for speeding in the pit lane.
That's Mikey Benham
for RLR M Sport. So Benham, as he made his way back to the pits, and this is all part of the procedure to restart the session. Don't think that because the cars are coming in the pit lane that we are done. Still 5 minutes and 41 seconds displayed on my timing screen, certainly indicating that this session will be restarted. But Eduardo Freitas, the race director, wants the cars all contained safely within the pit lane, and then the session will become live again shortly after that.
Cars on track may pick up the pace to come back to the pit lane. Session will be resumed on a short call.
There you go.
Session will be resumed on a short call.
So behind Fink Gerschitz in that Phoenix car, the 5 car we just saw coming back in, then it's the WTM powered by Phoenix. So it's a Phoenix 1-2 now after being a, was it very early on, a Virage 1-2, I think it was. So the 11 car in the hands of Thurston Kratz, under 0.2 of a second back. Within just a couple of hundredths of that, Freddie Hunt from that early effort from Milner Motorsport. That was another team we had as 1-2 early on.
Car 73, can you please pick up the pace? We're all waiting for you. Car 73, car 16, can you please pick up the pace? We're waiting for you.
Eduardo rather exposing Pietro Piccinini there, who is the TS Corsa driver for their Duquesne at their home race this weekend. So 73... Where is Pietro?
Ninth quickest. Where is he on track at the moment? It's just about to make the pit lane.
Yeah.
But car 73. Where are you? I think was the call there, more or less. Behind the top three, then the two cool racing cars, Antoine de Pierre and Maurice Smith, fourth and fifth quickest. Mikey Benham there, although Mikey reported to the stewards for speeding in pit lane. Tony Wells. Rob Hodes in the 71 Team Virage car, then that TS Corsa 73 with Pietro Piccinini, and then Mike Rosenberg in the Black Falcon car, 10th in the order. That's the top 10, but there's almost 6 minutes to run, though they will all need, as you quite rightly said a little earlier, Johnny, another outlap before we can get meaningful scores on the doors.
And the best lap so far is 1.75 minutes, so it's going to take longer than that to do an outlap from a standing start. The green flag is waved, though, now, and that crucial front row position occupied by a United Autosports car. Are we going to... Is this going to mean there's a bit more time to get the 32 car involved? It depends whether the team are working very hard on Daniel Schneider's car or whether they've just written this session off to start it from the back.
Well, one of the problems, of course, is he can't... If he's not in the pit lane, he can't make the pit lane.
No, that's right, because you need a... You need a dead track in order to get the car into the right place, because they are using one of the rear paddocks.
And
they have to use the straight to the Parabolica and that corner itself.
That exit gate's halfway down on the run down towards Parabolica.
So they missed that window, which is a very good point. That's probably very likely. Anyway, Finn Gear sits back in the session in his Ligier, still waiting for the other Phoenix car, which is a Duquesne. The Mulner Motorsport car of Freddie Hunt, which briefly topped the times, now in third position. But the WTM, the Mulner, and the two cool racing cars haven't yet got back into the session. They'll need to do so if they're intending to do more laps.
Freddie Hunt has got out the car, I can tell you from another camera view that we have available here. So Freddie will, by the look of it, not be taking any further part in this session. So we'll be no further up than third in this grid.
I think that could well be the strategy from Cool Racing as well. Because you're now down to basically a single lap run, if they make it at all. So one car does join to go against that theory. Torsten Kratz, yep. And the other two as well. So what do I know? Anton Dukat, Maurice Smith, all in the session.
But what they're doing is pretty smart. They're trying to give themselves space out there because these cars are very close together if you're in the pack. Which I see that Fricadelli Racing car just going through. First time I've seen it on the screen.
It's the same car. It must be. It's too much of a coincidence. Matthias Luton has ground to a halt again in his Team Virage machine. It brought out a red flag.
We have a car stopped at the exit of T5 drivers left. He's now resuming. It's car 16 again.
So thankfully, just before this whole batch of cars.
In case I missed the message, car 16 has been reported to the stewards for causing a red flag and not respecting the red flag when he resumed the car.
Ah, okay, so there's already a penalty hanging over the 16, and now it's going to grind to a halt again. But something is not right electronically, I would suggest, with the 16 car, because it has stopped for a third time now for Matthias Kruten, and not winning a lot of fans, I think, in race control right now.
I think stretching the patience of race control at the moment, this one, and not in a pleasant place there either. Yellow flag now at turn 7. So I don't know what to say about this. Clearly was a problem that caused the red flag in the first place.
Yeah.
It's a red flag again from the same car.
Now, if there was another Virage car potentially in pole position, I would smell a rat here, but neither of the Virage cars...
He's clearly in trouble.
Oh, yeah. This is a genuine problem. As I say, if Virage had been occupying the pole position and they were looking to burn time, I could sort of understand it. But no, there's a genuine issue here for Matthias Luton. He'll be trying his level best to get the car, well, to the end of the session. But I think now is the point that you have to call time on it and allow this session to run out. There's still enough time, actually, if Eduardo wants to resume this session...
To get one flying lap in.
Some might not make it, actually, but I think the bulk of them will. So are we going to go for a single lap dash to improve the times? I think there'll be plenty that just decide not to bother if this session is restarted. 2 minutes and 36 seconds is the new time now, still to elapse.
Yep. Now, the causing a red flag bit is blindingly obvious as to why there's been the stewards report not respecting the procedure. Now, that might be the level of acceleration that was seen from that car to join the back of the queue coming in slowly.
Well, if in a red flag, I think the instruction is that wherever you are on the racetrack, you have to come into the pit lane.
And very good point.
He was in the pit lane
very
entry.
Good point. Very
in the pit
good
lane
point.
Entry and joined the track again.
And
should have just gone straight
absolutely
to the pits.
Absolutely spot on.
So now, finally, Matthias Luton makes the pit lane.
And will not be allowed to rejoin the session. That's not a big surprise.
Yeah. I mean, ordinarily, if you cause a red flag in a qualifying session, I don't think you're allowed to rejoin it. That is a little bit mitigating circumstances, but certainly now there have been twice when the red flag has come out. Some patience being tested, not least by the teams that are trying to get pole position.
Absolutely.
In this rather truncated session. So 144.785 still stands as the best effort from Finn Gersitz, and everybody else will have to collect their thoughts once more and try and get a good road position. It's the 11 car this time of Torsten Kratz, which is at the sharp end of the pit lane line.
Well, that could be interesting, couldn't it? That is the second place car in the order at the moment.
Indeed so. Work going on at Virage and that 16 car. The other machine at Virage, which is driven by Rob Hodes, is also in the pit lane. And there are one or two stragglers, including T.S. Corsa again and Pietro Piccinini. But he's not the only one this time. Team Thor's Auden Goodmanson still awaited in the pit lane. And the Mulner Motorsport car of Francesco Zolo. Still, we haven't seen the 32 car, which we think missed the window to actually be involved in the session and is trapped elsewhere in the venue in the outer paddock. 2 minutes and 36 remaining. You're doing well to do an outlap in much under 2 minutes. So that will leave 30, 40 seconds to try and get the bulk of the field across the line. Until you see the checkered flag, then your times will count.
So here we do finally get a chance to see the Fricadelli racing car. Late addition to the season was intended as a full season entry. And for the very sad reason that driver Klaus Abelin's partner, Sabine Schmitz, of course, passed away. She would be internationally known for racing exploits and her broadcasting exploits. But great to see Klaus here this weekend, sharing the car with Axel Jeffries. And extraordinarily, after the race later this evening, Klaus will be making his way back to Germany, where he will race solo around a four-hour race of the Nürburgring tomorrow.
Which is quite some undertaking, but would not be a first, certainly, but it's a rare thing. More and more cars heading out onto track. Now, this, for me, is going to be pretty tight as to whether you can get around in a minute and... Well, you can't do a minute and 44 because that's a pole position time. Yeah. So there are going to be plenty of cars here that will be disappointed and aren't going to get the chance to improve.
The timing of the checkered flag is going to be pretty precise here, isn't it?
Yes.
Because there's going to be quite a pack.
That's true.
Passing through here.
And some that will be allowed the times to be replicated on the sheet at the end of the session, and others not.
So there's the DKR car. And passes. I think it was the Edex Sport car. It was indeed. Patrice Lafargue.
Hurtling its way into the Variante Ascari is the WTM powered by Phoenix car of Torsten Kratz.
That's got the kind of body language that says, I'm going to go for this.
Yeah, no time to waste. Well, at the moment, it's a race to the checkered flag. And now Torsten will make it easily because there's 50 seconds left and he's at the Parabolica now. There are other cars in a second batch just leaving the Lesmos as I speak, headed by... Well, certainly the Grain Market Racing car is in there, Mark Crader. 17 car also in that second clutch of cars as well.
And he did his outlap in under 2 minutes there.
Very good. Yeah, mightily impressive, and it needed to be from Torsten Kratz. So the 37 car will head across the line before the checkered flag and therefore will get a chance to improve. That's one of the two cool racing cars for Antoine Ducan. 69 Mo Smith also will get a second bite of the cherry.
And Tony Wells, Rob Hodes will too. Yep.
10 seconds left. So is the 5 car, Phoenix Racing, that holds on to pole position going to be the first that doesn't quite make it? 1 second, zero.
And
five
it was
the line
spot
now.
On. Spot on, Johnny Palmer.
There you go. So Gersitz has pole position but doesn't get a chance to go faster, whereas Torsten Kratz has. And another 10, maybe 12 cars, including the two cool racing entries.
And a completely clear track.
Yes, for Kratz, certainly. And the 69 car, there's a big enough gap there, actually, for Mo Smith to really hustle on. 37 stayed out, but is in more traffic. And then there are cars like the 18 Mulner Motorsport car, which was in that gaggle that won't be able to score another fast lap time.
I'm not sure he's got this, but Antoine Ducat is going very quickly.
He
indeed
is.
Currently fourth quickest. Tony Wells is improving too, as is Rob Hodes. Whether or not improving enough is a different matter.
Team Virage and Rob Hodes, despite the dramas for the sister car, is in that lucky batch of 10 or so that will be coming out of the Parabolica very shortly. So what can Torsten Kratz muster here? It's not going to be good enough to leapfrog Finn Gersitz and for pole position, but at the moment we're looking at a Phoenix 1-2 with the plain and simple Phoenix racing car and then the WTM powered by Phoenix entry. Antoine Ducan will go third for Cool Racing in the number 37 car, waiting for Mo Smith to cross the line. Somebody else improved, Freddie Hunt in the Mulner Motorsport car.
No,
Alex Matchell for Rinaldi Racing goes into fifth. Hunt didn't improve, you're right, but there was some shaking around
Mikey
elsewhere.
Mikey Benham just improves.
Yes, despite the penalty for speeding in the pit lane, that lap will count. The RLR M Sport car goes sixth. Rob Hodes did improve. Tony Wells improved as well in the Nielsen racing car, number 7 to go in to ninth place. But the big winner there was Antoine Ducat for Cool Racing. I think only benefiting by one position, but he'll move into third place. That's it then for qualifying. Join us later for the race at 5 o'clock. Bye-bye.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.